And you, some of you may not know my story, but my natural father was not a good father in any sense of the word. But the Lord has a way of compensating. When you join his family, he has a way of compensating. Jamie, he has a way of compensating. And the Lord has blessed me with Pastor Story. He's been able to influence me, to speak to me through some of my hard times in the last few years even. And lately he's suffered a difficulty, and hopefully I've been a blessing to you, Pastor Story. But this is your family too, and we love you. And we've already been praying for you, and we're ready to receive, and we stand ready to give. And so could we stand today and thank God for his gift, Pastor Story?
One, two. Would you remain standing, please? Would you remain standing? Am I turned on? Am I turned on? Okay, good. Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, everybody say, praise the Lord. You know, I agree with Pastor Ron. What we did this morning in taking communion, that was a solemn time. That was the most sacred thing you've done all week. But now we're moving into a new phase of the service where we go to the preaching of the word. And I want you to say this with me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberation. So anything can happen in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you're seated, do this for me. Turn around and tell somebody as you shake their hand and let them know you're glad to see him in the house of the Lord today. Tell somebody, if you'll amen Pastor Story while he's preaching, he'll cut his message short. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greet somebody. Let them know you're glad to see him in the house of the Lord. All right. You don't have to show them pictures of the grandkids. Just shake their hand, let them know you're glad. I am so glad to be in Mexico, Missouri with all you folks here at Victory. Who's in charge of putting the picture up here? Who picked that picture? Did you do that in my honor? That looks like my home place. I'm telling you, I love this weather. I'm about to call my wife and tell her to come up here. And you don't mind if we move in with you, do you? But who said that? Got to get you for that. But the thing is, I tell you, I love this weather. Man, I left those steamy, piney woods of southeast Texas and come up here. August has been hot, hot, hot. June and July, we had a drought. I told somebody, I said it even affected our baptismal services. Water was so scarce, the Pentecostals started sprinkling. The Baptists use a washcloth, and the Catholics are praying that God will turn the wine back into water. But I am just glad to be here. I love it. And I want to say thank you to Pastor Ron and his beautiful wife and children for being so gracious. I'm staying in their home. That's not the first time I've stayed in their home. I've stayed in their home before. And I can say this, you are so blessed. You are so blessed with your pastor and his wife and their precious children. And I can say this to you, what he is at home, or what he is at church, is what he is at home. Amen. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of the word. Man of integrity, and I'm just so glad to be here with you folks today. And Wednesday night, I feel like God has given me a fresh word. Since I've retired from being senior pastor and turned it over to my son, I don't preach as often as I did, and I'm just glad for the opportunity to be here today and share with you. And not preaching as often, you know, you get a chance to just get fresh manna. So I believe God has given me a word for Wednesday night, and I'll be speaking at the core group this evening. God has given me something to share with you. And I'm just excited about what God wants to do today. Thank you so much for having me. And if you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. That is going to be my subtext, so you can take a bookmark or one of those Bible ribbons or the church bulletin or something and just hold 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll be referring to that shortly. And but my main text this morning, I'll give you a chance to get to 1 Peter chapter 1. And that'll be my subtext that I will refer to shortly. But I'll be reading this morning from Luke chapter 18. Then I'll jump over and read a verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. Would you turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 18? And it's amazing, all the years that I've been preaching, many times I still get nervous before I preach. I really do. And I think it's because, you know, I acknowledge that it is not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I was telling Pastor Ron yesterday, I was in a revival service one time at a church, and the evangelist made this statement. He said, if God anoints me, I'll preach. If he don't, I'll anoint myself and preach. Doesn't work that way for me. If God don't show up, we will go to lunch early. Because I must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I still, like I say many times, I still get nervous before I preach. And Pastor Ron prayed in the office this morning as we prayed that I would only speak what the Lord would have me speak. So I had to cut out some of the jokes. And no, I don't put jokes in my notes. It's a gift. But the thing is, I just want to be a blessing to you today. And I'll say this. I used to tell our folks, you can tell where I am in my walk with God many times by what I preach. Because I've preached it to myself already. And the scripture I'm going to share with you this morning is something that in the past few months has brought me through some very difficult times. And so it's burning on my heart, so I want to share it with you. And is that clock back there correct? I don't have a watch. My band broke, and I'm waiting till Walmart puts them on sale, but I can see that you have a clock back there, and it's almost 11. I do want to fit into your time frame, all right? I do want to fit into your time frame. I learned a long time ago that a message does not have to be everlasting in order to be eternal. And I do want to fit into your time frame today. But yet at the same time, I want the Holy Spirit to have liberty to minister to you what he desires to minister to you today. Because I believe that God has given me a word that is going to bless you. Amen. And I've got a lot to share with you this morning, but I will not try to go past what I feel is an adequate time frame, and I want to stay within the time allotted to me. Thank you. I will. I feel like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I don't know where to start. It's just, but the thing is, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Listen, if I say anything that offends you, Pastor Ron will talk to you after I leave. God, Jesus, help me. I've got so much to share with you this morning. Are you in Luke chapter, what chapter am I even reading out of? 18, chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, please, don't turn me off. Oh, he's going to preach on prayer. Well, kind of. But if you'll stick with me, I guarantee you, you'll go away from here today changed. You'll go away today having been ministered to by the Word of God. So don't turn me off. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now let me say right here, your adversary can take many shapes and forms. Your adversary can be your chief adversary, the devil. Your adversary can be a person. It can be a health issue. It can be a financial problem. It can be a situation. So know right now that your adversary can come in different shapes and different forms. And she said, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Somebody say speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to read one verse this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor, somebody say, and glory, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Like I say, this passage of Scripture has ministered to me greatly during the past few months. And I don't think that I had ever before really ever preached a message. I may have referred to it, but I don't think I've ever really before preached a message on this parable or on this passage of Scripture. But let me begin by saying to you that through no fault of our own or no making of our own, we live in a lustful generation. Now, lust does not necessarily have to pertain to sex or sexual lust. The definition of lust means I want it and I want it now. And we live in a microwave generation where, I mean, people will go buy a new computer that's 6 seconds faster than their old computer because we live in, it's just the day and the age that we live in. It's the microwave generation or the lustful generation that says, I want it and I want it now. And sometimes when we don't see the manifestation or the answer to our prayers, we get discouraged. And I would venture to say that there are some of you here this morning at one time, maybe a month ago, maybe a week ago, maybe a year ago, but at one time, there was a situation, or there was a need, or there was a circumstance, or there was a loved one that you were praying about, that you were praying for, that you were taking before God. But you didn't see the manifestation of that prayer. You didn't see the answer to that prayer. So somewhere along the way, you laid it aside. And you no longer come before God with that. And you've sort of just, you didn't see the answer, and you just sort of, for whatever reason, you just put it to the side. But I came to church this morning to challenge you to do two things. Number one, if that's you, and I'm sure that the overwhelming majority in this place, if not everyone in this place, at one time or the other, there was something that was heavy on your heart. There was a need in your life. There was a situation. There was a circumstance. There was something that you were taking before God, but you didn't see the answer. So now you've just laid that aside or you've put it on a shelf. I came to church this morning to ask you to do two things. Or maybe I should say, I came today to challenge you to do two things. Number one, I challenge you to repent and ask God to forgive you for laying aside your faith. Because, now, why repent? Well, because, see, Romans, I believe it's chapter 14, says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if you've lost faith and you gave up on that, I came today to ask you to repent and ask God to forgive us for letting go of our faith. And then I ask you, or I came today to challenge you to pick that need back up and get back in the fight. Because God is still God. Somebody say amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 is a very familiar verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, or faith is the substance of things that we have expected. And we all know that the Bible tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now hear me please. Faith will always have some form of substance. And I want you to understand this morning. And remember now, we're talking about the little lady who went to the unjust judge and she cried out day and night, avenge me of my adversary. I want you to get this morning. Faith will always have some form of substance. And I want to say to you that even though you may not feel like your faith is hitting on all eight cylinders, I came to church today to tell you that when you refuse to stop praying, when you refuse to let go, when you refuse to give up, and you hold on, and you keep presenting that need before God, I want you to know that that is a form of substance, and God will avenge you. You know, when I remember back in the 70s when the charismatic movement was at its peak and the hyper-faith movement, and everybody was actually having more faith in their faith than they were having faith in God. And they taught us that if we prayed more than one time, that indicated that it was a lack that we didn't believe God the first time. You know, and I mean, we couldn't even have prayer lines in the church because nobody would confess they were sick, you know. But I ain't sick. This 108 fever is just a lying symptom. We couldn't even do the word because nobody would confess they needed prayer. And they taught us that if you prayed more than one time for something, well, that just means you didn't pray the first time. I said, well, I guess Jesus didn't have any faith when he prayed for that blind man. And he said, what do you see? Can you see? And he said, well, I ain't going to lie just to make you look good in this revival. I got to tell you the truth. I see men, but they look like trees walking. Jesus said, come here. We're going to pray again. Is it all right? We're going to pray again. So you see, it doesn't hurt. What I came to church today to tell you is this, that when you refuse to give up and you refuse. See, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he said, pray without ceasing. Now, you know, I researched that. That does not mean walk around all day with your eyes closed saying, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just, no. No, what that means is pray until the answer comes. Don't stop praying, but pray until the answer comes. Now, listen to me. I came to church today to help you. And whether you're struggling in your walk with God, whether you're struggling, as Pastor brought out earlier, maybe with the work of the flesh or in your marriage or in your health or your finances or maybe a bad situation that you're in or you're struggling with an old addiction, I came to church today to tell you, I want to help you. Because listen to me, all the devil has to do to win is to get you to give up. But as long as you're still praying, you haven't given up and he loses. So I want you to know. Now, also notice this. The Bible says that this little lady, day and night, she would cry out to the judge. And the Bible says that this judge, he said, I don't fear God and I don't regard man. But you know what? Every time she saw him in Walmart, she said, hey, what about my case? Every time she saw him at the gas station, she said, hey, judge, what about my case? Every time she saw him at the Little League soccer game, she said, hey, judge, what about my case? Every time, and finally the judge said, look, I don't fear God, I don't regard man, but this woman is driving me crazy. Give her what she wants. Come on, somebody. Give her what she wants. She's driving me nuts. Now, can I make an observation here? Can I make an observation here? She talked to the judge. She didn't talk to her adversary. I've seen some folks spend more time talking to the devil than they do talking to God. Can I get an amen on that? We have a prayer meeting every Thursday morning, and we had a lady come in there, and she's a sweet lady. She loves the Lord, and she meant well, and oh, she started praying, and oh, she prayed, and Satan, I command you to do this, and Satan, you do this, and Satan, you cannot, and Satan, and finally, after about 10 minutes, Sister Story said, whoa, we're here to pray to the Lord, not pray to the devil. And she said, oh. Some folks been more, listen, she talked to the judge. And I guess we've, you know, it's there are times when you have to put the devil in his place, okay? Back in my younger days, I'd get all excited and I'd pray and I'd scream and holler and spit. And I'd lay hands on Sister Broadbottom and I'd command the devil to loose her and go back to hell from whence he came. Hey, folks, quit telling the devil to go back to hell. He ain't going. He has a right to be here. Adam gave him that right when he committed high treason in the garden. So what I want to say to you today is she talked to the judge. She talked to the one who had the power to change her situation. I was reading Psalm 91 this morning. And is it Leanne? Is that your name? When she was up here reading the scripture and exhorting us, she exhorted that we would cry out to God today. I was reading Psalm 91 this morning, and we all are familiar with that verse 1 that says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then everything else in that chapter that tells you the awesome, mighty things that God will do all hinges on verse 1, dwelling in the secret place. And then I went over there and I read Psalm chapter 81 in verse 7. And I found out that God said the secret place is a place where he thunders. So you know what? When you get in that place with God and you thunder your need out to God from that secret place, God will thunder the answer back to you. If we won't give up, if we won't quit, if we won't throw in the towel. Now in verse 7 and 8, this is very significant. It said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, you can look at that twofold, and you should look at it twofold. In a prophetic sense, when the Son of Man comes, will he find you standing fast? Will he find you standing in faith? See, we do not know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming. And it's faith that propels us. It's faith that drives us. It's faith that moves us to continue on until he comes. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not need to watch the planet alignments. We do not need to go by the Mayan calendar of some heathen culture that sacrificed children. We do not need to follow time charts. The only thing we need is faith that he said he's coming again, and he was born on time, he died on time, he rose on time, and he's coming again right on time. That's the only thing we need to hold on to is faith. It's that faith. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Or will he find us getting to the point to where we say, well, you know, God didn't work, church didn't work, let's just go back and go back to the world. Will he find faith on the earth? But the second angle to look at that is this. When he comes on the scene with the answer to your situation, will he find you hanging in there? Will he find you standing in faith? Or will he find you discouraged and given up? Will he find that faith that resists our influence in prayer? That faith that sustains our drive for evangelism? Because let me tell you something. It's human nature. It's human nature to give up when hope is deferred. Let me say that again. It's human nature to give up when faith is deferred. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you today, we are not human beings going through a temporary spiritual experience. We are spirit beings going through a temporary human experience. I want to say that again. We are not human beings going through a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience. Now, he said, I say unto you that he will avenge them, though he bear long with them. I say unto you, he will avenge them speedily. Somebody say speedily. I read that the other day. I said, wait a minute. Though he bear long with them. Though he bear long with them. He will avenge them. And he will avenge them speedily. And I said, wait a minute, God. I don't understand that. That sounds like a contradiction. Even though you're going to bear long with me, you're going to avenge me speedily. I don't understand that. And as I sat and waited in God's presence, God did not speak to me in an audible voice. He did not tell me to go to a certain chapter and a certain verse. Is there anybody here that you've ever been praying and you really needed an answer from God? And you were praying and saying, oh God, show me, give me an answer. And you heard 1 Corinthians 17:3. And you grabbed the Bible and you turned, there's only 14 chapters. God, I hate that. Anybody here ever had that happen to you? Come on. I hate that. God didn't speak to me in an audible voice, but he didn't tell me to turn to a certain chapter and verse. But all at once it came to my heart. Though he bear long with them, he will avenge them speedily. It may be a while before God starts working in your situation. Hear me now. It may be a while before God starts working in your situation. He may have to set some things in order. There may be some folks that's got to play a part in this that he's got to do a work in. There might be some things that he's got to put together to bring it to pass and make it happen. So it seems like he's bearing long with us. But I want you to know this. When God starts moving, he moves fast. Did you hear me? When God starts moving, he moves fast. I know when I first got saved, I was a young man. I got saved overseas in the den of iniquity in Angeles City, outside Clark Air Base. And I was ready to get married. I wanted a wife. I needed a wife. And I was praying for a wife, and, you know, it just didn't seem like it worked out. And, you know, and finally I thought, you know, God, I don't know why you haven't given me a wife. I'm cute, and I'm smart, and I got to the point where I said, God, I was at the altar. I never will forget it. And I was kneeling there, and I said, God, if you don't want me to have a wife, if you want me to just stay single and preach the gospel for the rest of my life, I'll do it. But God, I'm not looking for a wife anymore. It wasn't very long after that, this little 4'11", brown-haired, black-eyed French Canadian walked through the door. I said, yes, Lord. So I let her chase me for a while, and then I gave in. But you know, it's sometimes when we get to the point where we say, okay, God, you're orchestrating this thing. And you looks like you're not doing anything yet. But when you do start moving, you're going to move fast. Some of you, I don't know if I told this or not when I've been here before, but some of you know that we started our church almost 14 years ago. We started out in the living room with 13 people. Then we went to the Ramada Inn to a meeting room next to the kitchen where the dishes were rattling and cooks were cussing each other out and everything. And then we went from there. God opened up a little building. Pastor Ron saw it. It was about the size of the platform. And it was just, you know, during praise and worship, you ever seen those cartoons where they were playing music inside and the building outside was going like that? And it was about the size of that. I don't know how we ever had church in that. But finally, God opened up the door, and we got this in an industrial park. We got an empty warehouse on Highway 62. And I used to tell people, Family Worship Center is the place to be if you can find us. And we opened, and God opened that up for us, and we spent 6 profitable years there. And then Bancroft School came up for bids. Now, here we are in 5,000 square feet, 5,000 square feet with no grounds except a gravel parking lot, 5,000 square feet, no room to really grow, and Bancroft School came up for bids. We went and looked at it. My goodness, 50,000 square feet, totally remodeled after Hurricane we've had so many. Which one was it? Rita. Totally remodeled. I mean, new roofs, new AC units, new ceiling tiles, no asbestos, playground equipment, $60,000 playground equipment. Child safe or whatever. You know, and, oh, man. Woo! Praise God. It's going up for bids. I wanted that school so bad. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I went before God, who is the righteous judge. And I told God how we needed that building. And, oh Lord, you know what we've been through for the last 10 years, and we need that building. And God bless. And one morning I got up, and I was walking from the living room. That was in my house that we don't live in now because it got flooded out with Hurricane Ike. And I was walking from the dining room area to the kitchen. And right between the dining room and the kitchen, Jeff, God spoke to my heart, and he said, I'm going to give you Bancroft School. I'm glad he didn't give me an answer by a chapter and a verse. God said, I'm going to give you Bancroft School. Boy, I had myself a Holy Ghost hoedown right there. And after I settled down, God said, I want you to take a piece of paper, and I want you to write this date down. And I want you to write, God told me on this date he's going to give us Bancroft School. He said, I want you to seal it in an envelope and mail it to yourself at the church. But don't open it till after it comes to pass. So I did. I wrote down on this date, God spoke to me, he's going to give me Bancroft School. I sealed it. I mailed it. Came to the church, addressed to me, took it and held it, didn't open it. God said, when it comes to pass, you have someone open that envelope on a Sunday morning and read it to the congregation. September 17th of 2007, after we made our bid, I was at my son's house in Gonzales at the family ranch, my wife's family's ranch, and I got a phone call, and they said, Pastor, a lady in my church works at the local newspaper. She works at the Orange Leader. And she said, Pastor, we just received word that the United Pentecostal Church on 40th Street got Bancroft School. I felt like the wind was kicked out of me. I was on my way to a minister's meeting in Austin. I got off the phone and I just began to walk that ranch. I went into that secret place and I thundered. I thundered out to God. I said, God, you told me. I know that you told me. I don't know what went wrong. Now, blah, blah. And I was just weeping and wailing and thundering out to God. And finally the Lord spoke to me and he said, do you trust me? I said, yes, Lord, I trust you. And I changed my prayer. I said, God, I thank you. I thank you in the name of Jesus. You're going to give us that building. I don't care what the Orange Leader says. I don't care what this person says. I don't care what the radio station says. God, that's our building, and you're going to give us that building. I didn't know it. That was September 17th, and I thought the school board was meeting the next Monday night, but they met that Monday night. And I got out of my car at the minister's conference in Elgin, Texas. I was getting ready to walk in, and my cell phone rang. And I said, hello? And it was Bill Boyder, a businessman there, a Baptist brother, a businessman there in town. He said, is this Pastor Story? I said, yes. He said, I just want to congratulate you. He said, you are the new owner of Bancroft School. Somebody ought to say amen. He said, you are the new owner of Bancroft. I said, the board doesn't even meet. He said, no, the board met tonight. I said, well, I heard. He said, I don't know what you heard. He said, I heard the same thing. He said, but they met tonight, and for some reason, they changed their mind, and you are the proud owner of Bancroft School. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you this, folks, don't give up. Though he bear long with you, when God starts moving, he moves fast. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now let me go back to my subtext here. I'm getting ready to quit. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor. Somebody say and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Somebody say glory. Why? So that when he comes with your answer, you'll bring praise, honor, and glory to his name. You know, we sing that song, I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. That's good. And we say things like, oh God, I give you honor. That I understand. But you may sing it here also, but we sing a song back home that says, I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. And Peter said that the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto glory. We sing that song, I give you glory, glory, and I think, what glory can a finite human being give an awesome, infinite God? What glory do we have to give him? And I think the Lord helped me to understand. Glory. Glory means the manifest excellence of God. When you hold on and you don't give up and you don't quit, but you believe God, when he shows up with your answer, when your family members have seen you being drugged through hell backwards, but you held on to God's promises, when your co-workers and your friends have seen you going through the fire, but you refuse to turn loose of your promise, that brings glory to God. That brings glory to God. When you stand, even though it looks like the answer's not going to come, but you stand and you say, I will not give in, I will not give out, and I will not give up. And when God shows up with your answer, that gives them glory. Because see, God wants us to have a testimony. And without a test, there'll never be a testimony. And as I conclude this morning, let me say to you, Zechariah 2:8 tells us that we are the apple of God's eye. Somebody say, I'm the apple of God's eye. Let me tell you something, folks. God loves his kids. Somebody say, God loves me. Now say it like you really mean it. God loves me. God loves his kids. You're the apple of his eye. And unlike humans, God knew he was going to love us before he had us. Did you get that one? You remember Great Scott Supermarket? We first moved to Michigan. I got three boys. Steve was about six. Sham was about 3, and Scott was a baby, and I took all three of them to Great Scott, and I'm standing there, and Scott decides that's the time he's going to start crying, and I'm trying to check out, and Shan, get over, put that baby Ruth down and get over here. Shan, get over. Steve, don't hit that gumball machine again. Steve, pick up his pacifier. Just lick it off and stick it in his mouth. Shut up, Scott. Shut up. You know, and there I, Shan, get up, put that baby Ruth down and get over here. And how much is that? I'm trying. Little lady behind me. All boys. You got three of them. You must love kids. I said, lady, I only got three kids because I love my wife. Shut up. But the thing is, God knew he was going to love us before he had us. God knew he was going to love us before he had us. God loves his kids. You are the apple of his eye. But can I tell you something? He don't just love you. Isaiah 61:8 says he loves giving them their deserved justice. God loves giving you your deserved justice. Psalm 89:14 says justice and judgment are the foundation of thy throne. One of the other prophets said, what does the Lord require of thee, O man, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? First thing God said is justice. God not only loves his kids, but he loves to give them justice. But can I tell you something? He is the righteous judge. He is the just judge. And I don't care what or who your adversary is. God will avenge you of your adversary. He is the just judge. But here's the problem. The plaintiff has got to show up in court. We can't miss court. We got to go before the judge and plead our case. I'm in bed one morning and the phone rang. And it was Officer Romero from West Orange Police Department. He said, Pastor Story? I said, yes. He said, this is Officer Romero at West Orange Police Department. I thought, oh, that's another Pastor Story. You got the wrong number. He said, we have your son, Stephen, over here on Western Avenue. And he was speeding, and we're going to have to take him to jail. And rather than impound his car, I told him I'd call you and let you come get it. I said, he's going to jail for speeding? He said, well, he has warrants. Some of y'all know what that is. But the thing is that he has warrants. Said he has unpaid speeding tickets in Vidor, Bridge City, West Orange, and Orange. Four different cities. So we're taking him to jail. Somebody said, you going to go bail him out? I said, heck no. He didn't bail me out. But the thing is, I didn't go bail him out. I let him sit it out. And when he got out, the judge was gracious to him. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to let you pay these off. You get them paid off, everything will be cool between us. Set up payments. Set up payment plans with the judge in Vidor, the judge in Orange, the judge in West Orange, the judge in Bridge City. Set up payment plans. I told him, I said, son, the one guy you don't stiff is the judge. Any judges here this morning? One guy you don't stiff is the judge. If you want the judge to vindicate you or show you, you got to show up in court. Somebody say amen. Now, the just judge, God, wants to avenge you, but you got to show up in court. You got to present your case. You got to cry out, what about my case? While the musicians come this morning, and Pastor, while you get ready to come, listen to me today. I do not know who your adversary is. I do not know if your adversary is a person, an illness, a financial problem, a wayward daughter, a son that's in jail. Listen, I don't care if that boy is 40 years old and in jail. God can still work in his life. I don't know who or what your adversary is today, but I came to church to challenge you. Pick up. Go back. Pick up that expected end, that hope that you once had. Pick it up. And number two, get back into the fight. And I've got to say this. Somebody here today, Pastor touched on this briefly at the communion service, but somebody here today, maybe you're weary with the battle. Maybe your faith is weak. Maybe you're tired of struggling with that besetting sin. Maybe your adversary has whispered in your ear, "You're not going to make it. You'll never be an overcomer." What do you mean you think you're more than a conqueror? You're not going to make it. You may as well just throw in the towel now. There may be somebody here today. Listen to me, please. If you don't hear anything else I've said this morning, you hear me now. Maybe you're here and your faith is weak. And the devil has just almost talked you into throwing in the towel. You're tired of struggling. You're tired of battling that besetting sin. You're tired of this situation or that situation. Let me tell you something. I just remembered Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Where Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Peter, listen to me now." He said, "Satan desires to have you." One translation says, "Peter, Satan has asked for you so that he can sift you like wheat." And Jesus said to Peter, he said, "But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not." Notice, he did not say, "Peter, I've prayed for you that your flesh doesn't fail." Because guess what? Every one of us can fail in the flesh. But he said, "Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. Satan's asked for you, but I've prayed for you." Well, apparently Satan got permission, because before the end of the chapter, Peter fell in the flesh. He denied the Lord three times. But remember again, Jesus did not say, "I prayed for you that your flesh fail not." He said, "I prayed for you that your faith fail not." I'm talking to somebody here this morning. Feel like quitting. You feel like throwing in the towel, going back to the world, or going back to wherever God brought you from. I came to church today to say this to you. You may feel like you're hanging on to Jesus by a thread, but don't you dare. Don't you dare. Story, I've messed up so many times and I've had to ask God to forgive me. I don't care how many times you've messed up. I don't care how many times your flesh has failed. Don't you dare turn loose of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Don't you dare let go. Never, never, never give up. Never turn loose of your faith in Jesus. That's a word of the Lord to somebody today. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare throw in the towel. Your flesh has failed. And there will probably be times that your flesh will fail again. You get up, you dust yourself off, you ask God to forgive you, and you keep on going. Don't you dare turn loose of your faith in Jesus. Secondly, there are some of you here today. You've had an adversary for a long time. You've had an adversary for a long time. And at one time, you were taking that need before the just judge, who will avenge you, who desires to avenge you. You're the apple of his eye. He desires to give you justice. Somewhere along the way, your faith eroded, and you've cast that promise aside. You've ceased to pray. I came to church today to tell you this. Get back in the fight. Show back up in court. Stay before the righteous judge till the answer comes. He may bear long with you, but I promise you, when he starts moving, he moves speedily. Lay hold of your promise again. Get back in the fight. Pastor, would you come, please? God is the righteous judge. If this unjust judge, who didn't fear God and didn't regard man, avenged that little woman, how much more will God avenge his very elect? I say unto you, he will avenge them. Though he bear long with you, when he starts moving, he'll avenge you speedily. Pastor.
So
thank you.
Why don't we stand together? Take a moment. Let's concern ourselves with the Lord's business. He's been transacting here by his Spirit. You've heard the word of faith. Hopefully you've received the word of faith. Let's bring a conclusion to that. We can just close our eyes. First of all, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you've not believed in Jesus and his work on my behalf and your behalf, Jesus died for the sins of the world. And either people are going to pay for their own sins, the wages of sin is death and separation from God, or people are going to have Jesus. They're going to allow him to make full payment for sin. If you've not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got good news. He's brought you here so that you could embrace him. He will in no wise reject you. Between you and me right now and the Lord, no one looking around, if you'd like me to remember you in prayer after the service today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, just raise your hand and I will pray for you today. Between you and me. Pastor, please pray for me. Raise your hand. I'd be very pleased to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just need to know who to pray for. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. I'm tired of running my own life and hitting the brick wall. Jesus, I surrender to you. If that's you, could you raise your hand so I can pray for you today? Let that act of faith, you raising your hand, be the beginning of a new relationship between you and Jesus. It's not enough to know about God. You need to know him. Many will come in the end and say, Lord, Lord. And he will say, I never knew you. This is the time to make a decision. Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you today. Brothers and sisters, you want to come down and make a public, a corporate declaration that we are not going to faint. We shall reap if we don't faint. You want to believe that God is going to give you vindication over your adversaries. May have been something in the recent past, may have been an ongoing struggle, whatever it is. You want to come and pray with me? Why don't you come on down to the front? We're going to pray together.